We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. It's Friday. It's the last day of the normal work week for normal people. But farmers and ranchers, you're not normal people. So it's Friday. How about that? Let's check out some temperatures real quick. 69 at Hollis, 71 at Eric, 70 at Butler, 64 at Sealing, the May Ranch, 65, 68 at Slap out here in the panhandle of Texas, 67 at Lipscomb, 65 at Miami, 68 at Dozier, 72 at Odell, 67 at Wellington. Anyway, we got some pretty decent chances of rain, it looks like, tonight and tomorrow and Sunday. Everybody keep their fingers crossed. I know a lot of activities go on during the weekend, but there's a big area of western Oklahoma that hasn't received any rain to speak of. Matter of fact, a place of mine down at Willow that's not too far from the 2.6 inches of rain in Mangum didn't get a drop. So anyway, it's crazy how the weather goes. So anyway, we got lots to talk about today, so let's get started on this Wheeler General Store happy hour, all hour today. But Nathan, I know where he'll be this weekend. I'll have more updated information on Nathan Heffley coming up Monday. Anyway, wheat futures surged in overnight trading, and corn and soybeans were higher amid concerns about global crops and on some technical buying. Crops in Russia and eastern Ukraine continue to suffer from dry weather, according to weather reports. Rains missed 40% of southern Russia and 25% of the wheat fields in eastern Ukraine, according to the Commodity Weather Group. Precipitation is expected in the United States, Northern Plains, and Canada, which will slow field work but add moisture to soils. The forecaster said the 16 to 30 day outlook shows dryness and yield loss in parts of the Central Plains. In the Southern Plains, where hard red winter wheat varieties are growing, little or no rain has fallen in the past 2 weeks in most areas, according to the National Weather Service precipitation page. Heavy rain in southern Brazil will delay the soybean harvest in the South American country for at least the next 10 days. Wheat futures for July delivery jumped 12¾ cents to $6.17 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City futures added 16¼ to $6.52¾ a bushel. Corn futures gained 4¼ to $4.64 a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery gained 8¼ to $12.07¼ a bushel overnight. Soy meal was up $4.50 to $3.6940 a short ton. And soy oil fell 0.9 cents to 45.15 cents a pound. Export sales of soybeans jumped week to week, while corn sales fell, according to the USDA. Soybean sales to overseas buyers in the week that ended up on April 25th were reported at 414,000 metric tons. That's up 96% from the previous week and 45% from the prior four-week average, that is. Egypt was the big buyer at 146,000 tons, followed by Indonesia at 112,000 tons, Japan 92,800, Taiwan 26,000, Colombia purchased 25. Exports for the week came in at 269,100 tons. That's down 36% from the previous week and the lowest since the marketing year started last September. Corn sales, meanwhile, dropped 42% from the previous week and 1% from the average. Japan bought 267,400 tons. Mexico purchased 190,000 tons. South Korea, 140,000. Colombia, 50,000. And the total would have been higher, but a John Doe country council orders of 16,800 tons. Exports for the week total 1.38 million tons, down 19% from the previous week. Wheat sales for the 2023-24 marketing year that ends on May 31st, coming up here in what, 24 days, 25? Nope, back up, 28 days, was reported at 20,300 tons, down a lot week to week and from the prior four-week average. Nigeria purchased 33,000 tons. Colombia was in there for 22,000. Italy bought 19,000. Indonesia bought 10,000. Mexico, 6,500. An unnamed country, a John Doe country, nixed shipments of 115,000 tons, and Ecuador canceled orders of 20,000 tons. For the 24-25 marketing year, sales came in at 406,900 metric tons. Wheat sales for the week through April the 25th total 508,600 tons, down 11% from the previous week. Kind of weather we got going on here in our ag world. Flood warnings are in effect for several counties in northern Missouri this morning. Flood warnings will remain in effect until next Tuesday, according to the National Weather Service. The Grand River, which is a great big one, will reach 35.1 near Summer, Missouri, early Saturday, well above the flood stage of 26. Near Pattonsburg, the river overnight hit 28.7 feet, topping flood level of 25. So anyway, all kinds of weather going on in the crazy farming world that we live in. So anyway, that's what happened overnight in there. So let's see here. I got all kinds of things to talk about today, but I didn't want to get on that just yet. Anyway, before we go to our first break here in about 3 or 4 minutes, I just want to keep you guys' attention. So farmers' tax liability to raise as tax breaks expire next year. Keep this in mind. Farmers will face an increased federal tax liability of billions of dollars following the Trump-era tax breaks that expire in 2025. Farmers would face an increased federal tax liability of billions of dollars when this expires in 25. The biggest impact, estimated at a combined $4.5 billion, would come from reduced income tax rates on individuals, an increased standard deduction, a cap on deduction for state and local taxes, and the elimination of personal exemption. While the corporate tax rates created in the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act were permanent, some changes to federal income and estate tax policies were temporary and are going to expire next year, said the Economic Research Service. A report written by Taya McDonald and Ron Durst, the changes would affect 97.6% of all family farms. So I'm just keep this in mind. The largest farms will experience the largest incomes and estimated income tax liability measured in dollars. The largest increase in percentage terms would fall on farm households with moderate sales. The second largest impact, estimated at $2.2 billion, would come from what is expiring. It's going to expire. It's called the Qualified Business Income Deduction of 20% on profits passed through to households from farms and other businesses not organized as corporations. About 45% of the farm households benefit from this deduction, estimated the USDA. It said the QBID was created to provide parity from with the reduction in corporate taxes. The 2017 tax cut increased the exemption from the federal estate tax to 11.18 million for farms in other states. The exemption would drop to 6.98 million in 2025. The portion of farm estates that would owe estate taxes would increase to 1% from the current 0.3%, said the ERS. The amount paid in federal estate taxes would double to $1.2 billion. In the report, the ERS also analyzed the effects of reviving the child tax credit that expired in 2021 and making it permanent. So stay on top of your tax stuff. Don't let Uncle Sam get more than he deserves. So anyway, check with your accountant to make sure that they remind them that this a lot of personal, not corporate, but personal stuff and non-corporate farm stuff is going to change again, expires next year. So keep that in mind when you're thinking you need to spend all that money you're making from your cattle this year. How about that? So anyway, all right, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. When we come back, I'll have your Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Market update right after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This Saturday night, Slim Pickens will be live on stage at the all-new Country Palace on the east side of Elk City. He'll be playing all your favorites, plus several new songs. And with Country Palace's giant air filtration system up and going, smoking is allowed inside the club without getting it too smoky for others. Also, CP's has a full menu of great grilled food choices like burgers, mini corn dogs, street tacos, and more. Make plans to hear Western Oklahoma's number one country dance band, Slim Pickens, this Saturday night at CP's. There's a $10 cover charge to help pay for the band. Don't miss Slim Pickens on stage at Elk City's Country Palace this Saturday night. Doors open at 5, band starts around 9:30.
Ken Russ here at Hobart Stockyard. Folks, we are seeing cattle bring top prices right here home. We're competitive with Oklahoma City. We have proven on several occasions with the trust of local bigger cattle producers, top prices, less work, travel time, and greater returns on their cattle right here home. We have great working relationships with private independent buyers to guarantee you top prices for your cattle. We have the cleanest and best facilities to handle your cattle. Fresh water and quality hay out at all times. We do not receive chronically sick, injured, or trailer cattle. We only sell the best at Hobart Stockyard.
Hobart Stockyards at 580-726-3306.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They'd love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. we sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities, in the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see what the ag weather's looking like out here right now in the Texas Panhandle. Dozer, Texas, 69 degrees. Humidity is 79, dew point 62, the wind's out of the east at 11 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 18 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, zero. No red flag minutes or sub-freezing minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 65 degrees. Hey, I want to give a big shout-out to my neighbor to the south of me, Ryan Wimberly. Came by this morning and helped me piece together some 10-inch flat hose that I got running for from my water wells over the hill to another side row where I'm planting the peanuts this year. And I tried it. I couldn't do it by myself. And then Ryan showed up and we got it done. So after work today, my bride and I will test out our water connection, see if we did a good job or not. So anyway, shout out to him. Good neighbors in farming are always a plus. So anyway, we got that. All right, let's check out the Lipscomb's dealership ag market update. And let's see what the market's doing right now. I see a lot of positive things except for cotton. Somebody want to explain to me what's going on with cotton? I can't find out anything on that. I haven't got my cotton council email yet. All right, corn, May, 448, down 4, July, 459, unchanged. Soybeans for May, 1195, up 5 and a quarter. July, 1210, up 11 and a quarter. Soybean meal for May, 362.10, a short ton, up 5. July, 370.50, up 560. Soybean oil, May, 42.70, up 13. July's 43.24, unchanged. Check this out. Hard red winter wheat, May, 675, up 38. July, 649, up 13.20. Cotton, on the other hand, May, 74.92, down 89. July, 78.35, up 273. West Texas oil, June, 78.38, down 57. And gas, up a little bit. June, natural gas, 214, up 10. Let's see what the cattle situation is going on here. June, 176.92, up 12. Live cattle for August, 174.77, up 82. October, 178.35, up 97. Feeder cattle for May, 243.50, down 10. August, 254.92, down 30. September, 255.75, down 22. And October is unchanged at 256.07. Lean hogs for May, 92.77, down 30. June, 99.17, down 75. July, 103.12, down 40. The Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ are all on the positive side pretty nicely today. Anyway, let's see what some cattle we're bringing from up north this week in our northern listening area. Looks like pretty much compared to last week, feeder steers were steady to $4 higher. Feeder heifer steady to $5 lower. Steer and heifer calves $6 to $10 lower. Demand was moderate. Quality was average to fair. Let's see what some was bringing. Let's go with some 4 to 5 weights. Bringing 309 top end. 5 to 6 weights. Looks like 333 was top end. And 6 to 7 weights. 284 is the highest I see on this report. 7 to 8 weights, we're bringing up to 256.50. 8 to 9 weight steers, up to 239. 9 to 1,000 pounders, we're bringing up to 222.50 is the highest I see there. And 1,000 1,000 pounds and over, bringing up to 214.75. All right, let's check out some heifers. 4 to 5 weights, we're bringing 314 is the highest. Looked like they was averaging around 305 to 308. 5 to 6 weight heifers, we're bringing up to 286. 6 to 7 weights, we're bringing up to 262. 7 to 8 weights, 233 was the highest. 8 weight heifers, 218.50. 9 weights, 206.50. Anything over that, 1,000, looks like around $1.94. There you have it. Pretty simple, huh? Not too shabby. Cattle prices are still good. So, anyway, speaking of up north, if you haven't got your new Penny News, it's been out since yesterday morning. But anyway, I was reading Jerry Nine's article in the Today in Ag page, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City. Anyway, pretty curious. He says, I'm curious what opinion most people have on certain issues. Does it bother you that we have an open border? What do you guys think? Text line's wide open here, 580-225-9697. Does it bother you that we have an open border is my question, and why? I heard one very smart man say that it doesn't bother him, but keep in mind his party is in power. I don't begrudge anyone who wants to work, try to come to America to make a better life for himself and his family. But you would have to be very naive to think that we are not getting a lot coming across who do not like America and would love to do us harm. Most of those who say they want to live in a socialist country probably didn't even want their mom and dad telling them what to do, let alone a dictator. Another opinion of his, he said, in my opinion, our society is mostly getting lazier, and it's our own fault. Put me in charge of the welfare system, and I would soon become the most hated man in America. I have told my boys several times, if you get too lazy to work, I don't care if you starve. Guess what? I meant it. If you teach a kid to work starting at a very early age, then he will expect to work and even want to. If you wait until they're 16 to make him or her do some of the work or chores, he or she doesn't want to. If dad wants to sit in the house and eat potato chips, more than likely he will raise a child who likes potato chips too. Very opinionated. There you go. That is from Jerry Nine. It's his view. So anyway, I did look on the back page of the front section of the Penny News. Looks like there's a bad to the bone auction coming up. Big advertisement takes up the whole page. Coming up in Calumet a week from today, May 10th at 9 a.m. There's all kinds of stuff in here. Looks like good stuff. Lots of tractors, lots of Baylor windrollers. Let's see what else we got here. Grain carts. Looks like they got a lot of grain carts and a few combines out there, and then mowers and tillage. They got all kinds of, they got sprayers and whole nine yards. Speaking of sprayers, I'm not running Tradio here, but I want to share this with you because I know he's in a bind. I think he's in a bind. I really don't know that. He's got a 60-foot Scaven. Is that how you say that? Scaven? 60-foot boom sprayer with a Raven rate controller with three-way nozzles and all this other stuff. And then he also has a rate controller that will talk to John Deere display. And then if you're interested in it, give me a shout. What he done, he went out and played with the big guys. He got him a self-propelled sprayer, so I know he needs to sell this one to maybe help pay the fuel bill on his new one. Sorry, Bobby, I couldn't handle that. I couldn't stand that one. Anyway, somebody looking for a really good sprayer, that's a good sprayer to go. So anyway, just passing that word along because I knew about it. Anyway, let's see here. Jerry Nine for president. Yeah, and then call your friend Lacey Swope and tell her we need rain in Beckham and Warsaw counties. Man, I already have. She's already mad at me because I was ignoring her the other night when Payne kept interrupting her when she was trying to tell him what was going on, and that annoyed me. So I said, hey, tell your boss to shut up and let you produce some rain out here. But anyway, so, you know, there's a deal going around on Facebook on David Payne and some of his weather sayings. But my favorite one, I'm not a big fan of him, but my favorite one is, you might need to go to the casino and pick your grandma up. I agree with that. Wheeler General Stores. Let's talk about them. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into the store, their team will be ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, they're just outside of Wheeler, Texas. They look forward to serving you. And it's a really cool store. You guys need to go check it out. All right, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. When I come back, I got lots of things still to talk about, but I've had a question on vegetables, spacings between tomatoes and peppers. If you're interested in that, I got that coming up right after this break.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This Saturday night, Slim Pickens will be live on stage at the all-new Country Palace on the east side of Elk City. They'll be playing all your favorites, plus several new songs. And with Country Palace's giant air filtration system up and going, smoking is allowed inside the club without getting it too smoky for others. Also, CP's has a full menu of great grilled food choices like burgers, mini corn dogs, street tacos, and more. Make plans to hear Western Oklahoma's number one country dance band, Slim Pickens, this Saturday night at CP's. There's a $10 cover charge to help pay for the band. Don't miss Slim Pickens on stage at Elk City's Country Palace this Saturday night. Doors open at 5, band starts around 9:30.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is proud to announce they're now offering the High Energy Liquid Livestock Feed Mix 30. This liquid protein fat supplement is for cattle on grass or hay forage and is now available at SEI Agritech for pickup or delivery. They also have half semi or semi loads available. For more information, give Ken a call at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317 or stop by the SEI Agritech location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb, good people, great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
May the 7th, XIT Auctions is selling 160 acres of good Ouachita County grassland, including revised wind turbine production of approximately $6,536 a year. 4 miles east of Rocky, Oklahoma, to Road 2240, then a quarter mile north. For information on this auction, or to talk about your auction, call auctioneer Aubrey Latham, 393-4440, or see all the details at xitauctions.com.
XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. It's she here, Northwestern Oklahoma. Who do we want to do today? Let's go with Cherokee. I hadn't done Cherokee in a while. Here's your ag weather update for Cherokee, Oklahoma. 65 degrees, dew points 58, humidity 79. The winds are out of the east, southeast at 6 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 4.47 inches of rain. You guys must be better friends with Lacey Swope than I am, because you got some rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 70 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.9. Sunset at 8:24. Slight chance of thunderstorms today, 20%, 78 for a high. Tonight, 70% chance of thunderstorms, 57 for a low. The winds switch be out of the north tonight. And tomorrow, the winds will be out of the north. Rain showers likely, 70% chance with a 70 as a high. All right, let's see here. Where was that one? Tomatoes. So I've been asked this question 4 or 5 times. Hey, I'm just telling you guys out here, I'm not a master gardener. I'm a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants gardener. But anyway, I have fun doing it, and I love to do it. So anyway, one of the questions that I get asked this time of the year involves plant spacing between in raised beds and gardens, or inside. Like, I got a tunnel going this year. I don't know if you want my advice on the tunnel yet or not, but I ask a lot of people's advice who had high tunnels, greenhouses, so I think I'm probably pretty quick. Let's start with raised beds, because a lot of people are doing raised beds and putting them in protein tubs and stuff like that. So how many can you squeeze in? Well, let's start with the raised bed. So you may have heard of the square foot gardening technique, which involves breaking your raised beds into 1 square foot blocks for planting. This technique provides guidelines for how many plants of different vegetables you can fit within each square foot block. While there is a great technique for beginning gardeners to understand plant spacing, I find this method tends to crowd plants a little more than I like. So when followed strictly, square foot gardening can make harvesting difficult because there's so much plant foliage in the bed. It also makes it tough to fuller feed or apply organic pest controls for worms, aphids, the whole etc. Because the plants are so crowded, getting the entire leaf coated on each plant is very tough. I also think plant spacings will vary depending on what type of tomato plants you're planting. We can assume they're all going to require the same amount of space. So, let's start with tomatoes. Tomato plant spacing in raised beds will largely be determined by the varieties you're planting and the type of trellis you're using. If you're growing indeterminate tomatoes, which are the vine-growing tomatoes, varies in cages or other type of wide trellis, you're going to need to give them a significant amount of room. The indeterminate varieties will sprawl and eventually get very large. I recommend a 3-foot spacing or wider if using cages with minimal pruning. One solution to get more plants in your beds is use the top string trellis, which you see a lot of those guys hanging them down. If you watch any on YouTube or pictures, you see them hang them down from the truss and they grow up instead of out. So that takes a lot less room. Tomato clips are used to attach the stem of the tomato plant to the string, supporting the plant as it grows because the technique requires more constant pruning, the indeterminate plants don't get as wide. As a result, you can then space the indeterminate plants 1.5 to 2 feet apart. We're all big fans of determinate tomato varieties. I raise my hand and I give you an amen. They're my favorite, which don't get very tall and produce loads of tomatoes at one time. These varieties work better for gardeners in the southern climates that are not able to grow tomatoes throughout the summer. We use the Florida weave trellis system for our determinate tomatoes, which is the same system that the commercial field tomatoes growers use. The system includes wooden stakes or T-posts placed in between 3 to 4 plants and string woven in between the plants to support them. All right, I'm going to stop right there on that one. I'm trying it, and so far it looks really good. I notice a lot of the commercial tomato growers are just stringing it down the side. That's not the Florida weave. I don't know what you want to call that. The straight line, straight string weave, whatever you want. My plants are, 3 weeks old now, and I'm already on my second string, and I already need a third string. I'm just going straight down the side, wrap around each post, T-post, and I got 4 tomato plants in between each post, and then going and keeping it, and then I come back down the other side. A lot of the other guys, if you want to Google it or YouTube the Florida weave, they weave in and out of all those tomato plants, and I get dizzy real easy, so I just went straight. Now I'm trying it, and it's working great. I love it. The Florida weave is a great trellis system because it supports the plants in all sides and allows the tomato plants to lean on one another. As a result, closer spacing makes a better Florida weave. You want to look like a continuous hedgerow of tomato plants as the season progresses. With determinate tomato varieties in this technique, you can also use 1.5 to 2 feet plant spacing. Okay, so inside, I'm not growing any tomatoes outside. Inside the high tunnel I got going now, I went on 2-foot centers in a row, in the tomato row on 2-foot centers, and then I'm 5 feet between tomato rows. Does that make sense? Because the determinants, they get big and bushy. And I got warnings from different people. If you go any closer in between rows, you're not going to be able to walk through there and pick your tomatoes and do what do your normal stuff. So I have 60 more tomato plants coming here in a couple weeks, determinate ones, and I'm going to try them on 4-foot centers. So the end of this growing season, you guys will get an update from me on that. So see which one works. All right, so I'm going to give you an opinion from a guy that I've asked a lot of questions from on farming and gardening. Him and his wife live out there north of Foss, and they grow some bad-to-the-bone gardens, all I can say. So I called him about 4 or 5 years ago because I was going to plant 100 tomato plants out in the field and use my side row for the irrigation on it. Anyway, I asked him on tomato spacings, on plant spacings on the outside. And he informed me the greater the distance, not on the rows, but the greater the distance between the tomato plants, the better they'll do. 5-6 feet in between plants and 5-6 feet in between rows. And then that way, if you are a tiller, you can till and the whole 9 yards, you got plenty of room. They got the air moving to tomato plants is major. So anyway, and him and his wife grew some of the best looking tomatoes in the world, so that they'll know. So if you got plenty of room, put plenty of space. You don't have to crowd them all and do that, because if you do get into some diseases and they transfer from one plant to the other, it won't take long. So let's talk about peppers real quick before we have to go to break. Pepper plant spacing is much simpler than tomatoes because we don't have indeterminate or determinate pepper varieties. Same to you, Sean. Most pepper plants don't get more than a few feet tall, although I have some chocolate habanero plants. I didn't know they had those, that get 5 to 6 feet tall in their in-ground garden, but pepper plants typically don't need as much space as tomato plants. We can play it safe and put pepper plants 2 feet apart, or you can get aggressive with it and go 1 foot spacing. A closer spacing can sometimes help the plants remain upright as they lean on one another, much like the example of the determinate tomatoes. The closer you place them, the harder it might be to find peppers at harvest time, but you will be able to grow more peppers in each bed if you go with the 1 foot spacing. And my peppers in the tunnel, I went on 4 foot row spacing and 18-inch plant spacing. So test your limits. Experiment with it. That's what I'm doing. Just experiment what you want to do with. I will tell you, outside, 2 foot spacings on pepper plants is good. Now, this myth about hot plants and mild plants and no heat at all, pepper plants pollinating with each other, it's really not a myth, but it is. They will pollinate with each other, but it'll be next year if you keep seeds out of those peppers this year that you will find out that your mild jalapenos might be your new test for the Dorito crunch. I don't know, but anyway, that's been proven that yes, the pepper plants will cross-pollinate, but you will not know nothing about it if you don't keep seed out of your peppers and plant them the next year. You're not going to cross-pollinate a hot with a cold one this year and it end up being your cold one's hot. That's not going to happen. Been proven. I don't know this, but I know that the scientists, the master gardeners, and all the experts say that it'll happen next year if you keep the seeds. If you don't keep the seeds, you don't have to worry about it. And I could just imagine being a seed company like Haas and all those other guys. They're having to check their peppers, make sure they don't cross-pollinate, because they sell it to a lot of people over the United States and the world probably, and somebody get them some sweet peppers, some bell peppers, and things go to 300,000 on the Rector scare. That'd be scary. So anyway, all right, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break and be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Southwest Overhead Door has provided sales, service, and installation of garage doors to Western Oklahoma and the East Texas Panhandle since 1980. If you're in the market for a new overhead door for your home or business, let Southwest Overhead Door show you their selection of quality CHI overhead doors by visiting 1000 South Merritt Road in Elk City, or visit them online at swdoorelkcity.com. A CHI overhead door professionally installed by Southwest Overhead Door provides beauty and value to your home or business.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance, is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. That means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big-time savings on big-time tires during a big-time event. The Firestone Ag Spring Into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sarah Farmers Co-op. Sarah Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sarah Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sarah Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sarah or give them a call at 928-2664.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April the 19th. 1,498 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 478 brought 325. 4 at 494 brought 332. 11 at 581 brought 309. 7 at 608 brought 290. 9 at 611 brought 270. 4 at 738 brought 247.50. 9 head of heifers at 421 brought 295. 6 at 530 brought 282. 7 at 534 brought 265. 8 at 635 brought 241. 30 at 789 brought 216.50. 8 at 870 brought 208. 7 at 916 brought 209. Butcher cows were 85 to 142.50. Butcher bulls brought 92 to 161. Bred cows were 1,035 to 3,025. Pairs brought 1,025 to 2,500. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6097.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's Friday. Let's check out the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for Altus, Oklahoma. 73 degrees. Feels like 73 according to this. Dew point 66. Humidity 80%. Winds are out of the east at 11 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 72 one-hundredths of an inch. Almost three quarters. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 71 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.4. Sunset at 8:24. Rain showers, 30% chance today, 79 for a high. Tonight, 40% chance of thunderstorms, 59 for a low. Tomorrow, 80% chance of rain showers at 77 for a high with north to east winds, 7 to 10 miles an hour. Okay, let's see here. Speaking of sprayers, got some tips for you. I seen this, it's kind of interesting. From lubricating booms to cleaning and replacing spray tips, Ace Mechanic Dan Anderson emphasizes the importance of keeping things prioritized on upkeep on your sprayers. Number one, RTV silicone is an alternate to pipe dope or Teflon tape when assembling plastic pipe fittings used on sprayers. The silicone sealant allows adjustment to align fittings after assembly, and it doesn't permanently cement the connections. Okay, there you go. Number two, some sprayer manufacturers specify moly grease when lubricating spray boom hinges, suspension flex points, and other components that oscillate rather than rotate. The moly embeds in the metal to provide at least minimal lubrication when high pressure or oscillation without complete rotation squeezes all the grease out of the joint and prevents refreshing of the grease. Number three, an aerosol can of contact cleaner or brake cleaner is a handy and easy portable way to clean spray tips. Water from the clean water tank works, but a pressurized blast from the can works better, even better. Number four, if your fingers get sore from replacing the twist on off nozzle caps on a 120-foot boom, find a old socket that fits over the cap, then file or grind or machine notches to fit the ears of the cap. Be sure to use the old ratchet wrench that won't be ruined by frequent exposure to chemicals. An approximately size and notch piece of PVC pipe is also an alternative to a metal socket, or and a chunk, a small diameter PVC pipe makes a very lightweight handle. How about that, gentlemen? Hope you can use some of those tips, because my sprayer has two nozzles on it and it takes a crescent pretty easy. Let's see here. Prepare for a new normal in 2025. I seen this on Successful Farming the other day. Full lots and rising interest rates signal a shift in the used equipment marketplace. The state of the market, used marketplace is top of the mind for anyone involved in farm equipment business. Dealers' lots are full now as they were pre-COVID. Based on the data I've collected, that equipment has been seeing a 40 to 60% price increase over the last 6 years. And in the same period, interest rates have increased a staggering 188%. The reset is happening. But what will the new normal look like? As you drive from town to town, it's easy to see the supply has caught up with the demand. The manufacturer doesn't matter. Dealer lots are full, and in many cases, teeming with model hour equipment. The cost of holding the equipment is also on record highs. Typical large ag equipment carries a price tag of $400,000 to $500,000 with floor plan interest rates at 7%. Dealerships are paying $28,000 to $35,000 in interest per year per machine. Do the math on that one next time you drive by a dealership. More dealerships than ever are motivated to sell equipment. This has generated liquidation auctions not been seen since 2014 to 2020. I spoke with several auction companies and heard the same account each time. The dealers need to get machines off their books and they plan to use every means possible. Some reports have dealers taking machines straight from the farm to the auction block. The price of late model equipment is also a problem. In 2020, a new Class 8 combine cost $450,000. Today, the same spin would get a used Class 8 with 500 hours. Finding buyers for a used $450,000 combine is growing more complicated. Imagine that. Not because the money isn't there, but trading a low interest rate for a higher one isn't attractive. So what's the signs of the new normal? I look for the sell-off of equipment to continue all through 2024 and through the end of the second quarter of 2025. I will be eyeing the signs in the mid-year 2025 to indicate what the new normal will really look like. I think it will look and feel much like 2017 to 2020. What this editor is looking for, or author, whichever, auction values over 4 months fluctuate more than 2%. Peak auction period, August to December, needs close watching. Average retail and auction values are within 15 to 20% of each other. The number of machines in each hour band is fluid and not overpopulated on one end or the other. Year-over-year inventories fluctuate within 2 to 3% annually. Once these criteria have been established, we will know what the new normal is going to be like. There could be the same number of machines on the market as 2017 to 2020, or there could be fewer. What interest rates do over the next 18 to 24 months will also impact how soon the new normal shows its face. Used equipment inventories will fluctuate within a few hundred to 1,000 machines year over year. New demand will remain with the buyers that command the most significant discounts from the manufacturers. Buy late model and low hour used equipment with the same build codes when machines were new, upgrade their fleets to the latest technology, throw retrofit or performance upgrade kits. So that's what the used equipment buyers will then have their good choice. So what are you going to do right now? Are you going to upgrade? Are you going to wait? If you're a used equipment buyer wondering what to do, I suggest upgrading only what you need now and waiting till fall to make significant purchases, because I believe pricing will be your advantage. If you can sell anything now and replace it in the fall, I advise that as well. Also discuss upgrade kits, retrofit options, and the kits have a place, and the dollars usually make sense. Ultimately, there will be deals, and they will not be hard to find. As any bubble, they will eventually pop. The current situation correlates with the rapid speed at which supply caught up with demand and similar movement of interest rates. 2020 to 2022 saw incredible and widespread. I lost my place here. Widespread supply chain disruption. counseled and delayed machines. I know I had buddies out there. I've had this machine on order a year and a half. They got her now. So anyway, man, it's a tough world out there. And man, just $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 for a piece of equipment. You got to be a pretty good size, have some pretty good size ground on there. Well, look at your balers, cotton balers, $1 million. Nothing to it. 1,500 acres of cotton won't pay for, especially if you are the cotton king. Hey, your uncle Lawrence is at the sale barn today. There, Jimmy Rhodes. I know this for a fact, so check him out. Anyway, you guys have a great weekend. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Hey, before I forget, the Canute Fire Department is having their fish fry today at Canute. Starts at 5 o'clock. Bring some Benjamins. Donate to help the fire departments, man. We need them around here. We love them. Anyway, see you guys later.
Like the flashlight on your keychain.